Truth seekers, happy Friday, or should I say good Friday to you. See, I know what to say. Good Friday and happy Pesach. You should not be listening. You should be enjoying your Seder. Brad Friedman here, live broadcasting from the left coast for Mike Malloy tonight. He has the night off. He's enjoying a good Friday. Glad you could join us here. I am broadcasting from the left coast. That's me, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow in for the next 3 hours tonight. And, oh, we're going to be doing a lot of investigating. Speaking of people who know me, who know bradblog.com, well, if you like journalism, if you like investigation, you've come to the right place, because we're going to be doing quite a bit of that tonight. I've got more show than I can possibly fit into 3 hours. So we may have to invoke the secret Mike Malloy fourth hour. Don't be alarmed, affiliates. You'll know what to do. Our phone number tonight, don't use it just yet because I got a lot to get to, is 877-520-1150 if you want to write it down. 877-520-1150 is the number. Our chat room is available tonight at bradblog.com. If you stop on by, the very top item all lit up for you there. Click on through and you'll find the chat room. And if you can't find your way to the chat room, we don't want you there. Okay, we want you there. So stop on by the chat room. Dez is in there, I think. For Earth, our usual moderator. She's under the weather tonight, so our best to her. Hope she feels better. Come back soon. We miss you already. And, okay, what else do I have? Oh, the Twitters. You can find me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog if you'd like to sound off while we're unable to go to the phones early on here. Later on, we're definitely going to go to the phones. We'll get a lot of your calls, a lot of your thoughts on all the stuff we have to talk about today, and all the stuff that you'd like to talk about that I didn't talk about, because these are your public airwaves. And as I like to say, use them before you lose them more than you already have. We're broadcasting here from the beautiful studios of KTalk AM 1150, actually in Wonder Woman Stephanie Miller's current TV, now radio studio out here in Burbank. And we have a separate mic and headphones set up just in case Elijah comes in tonight. I'm pausing for all the Jews who are laughing out there right now. That was a good one, wasn't it, Jews? Yeah, I know. So just in case Elijah may be here, but if Elijah isn't here, we can definitely count on some other guests we'll be having momentarily. I'll be speaking with Pamela Smith of VerifiedVoting.org and Dan McCray of the Florida Voting Foundation. We'll also be speaking with Gabriel Ray Goodlatte is how it's spelled. Sounds delicious. He'll be joining us to talk about the campaign against ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is having a great deal of success as of today. Now, the fourth major sponsor of this right-wing group, American Legislative Exchange Council, has dropped out. The fourth, there may have been even more in the past few hours. I don't know. But Intuit has now dropped out. Way to go, Intuit. Intuit makes TurboTax and Quicken. They join Kraft Foods and Coca-Cola and Pepsi, who have all said no to these right-wingers over at the American Legislative Exchange Council, who are behind, among other legislative efforts around the country, the effort to keep you from being able to cast your legal vote. Yes, they are sponsoring, they are pushing these polling place photo ID restriction bills, which are meant to keep you from voting. And they are already doing that. A couple of weeks ago in Wisconsin, they had a primary, a small municipal primary, actually. A lot of people were turned away from the polls. Luckily, the Wisconsin bill to restrict people with photo IDs at the polling place has been overturned for the moment. Several injunctions have been put on it in several different cases after it was found to be unconstitutional, according to Wisconsin state law. That said, people are still getting turned away from the polls in Wisconsin under this photo ID law that is supposed to be on hold. An 87-year-old woman was turned away Tuesday because she didn't have her photo ID, even though the law is on hold. But maybe things are getting better in Wisconsin. Kathy Nicholas, America's favorite county clerk. As of last night, we had the breaking news at Brad Blog. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Kathy Nicholas is stepping aside. She of the famous Wisconsin Supreme Court case, she's stepping aside for the upcoming recall elections. That announcement was made yesterday, exactly one year since Wisconsin's Supreme Court debacle last year. We're going to be talking about that with John Washburn, who knows Kathy Nicholas quite well. And, Margo Paez, I hope, will be joining us with an update on the Santa Monica College pepper spray incident. Your militarized post-9/11 police force gone wild in Santa Monica. Unbelievable story. So we'll have information on that. But first, we're moving down to Palm Beach, Florida, because this story affects the entire nation, and I mean the entire nation. March 13th, they had an election down in Palm Beach County, and the optical scan, that's paper ballots, the paper ballot optical scan voting system announced three people as winners who didn't actually win their election. That's right. A lot of people think you got a paper ballot, you don't have to worry. Well, no, because in most places in this country, paper ballots are counted by optical scan computers. And nobody checks them afterwards. And I have been talking about this for years here on the Mike Malloy Show, at bradblog.com, on my own radio show here in Los Angeles on KPFK, warning people about this for years. When you hear, CNN does this little countdown till polls close and then they announce the winner, please know that when they do that, they have not actually counted any ballots yet. They're either working from the exit polls, which they used to tell us are not accurate, or they're working from the optical scan computers or the touchscreen computers, the central tabulators, which are telling us who won and who lost. But the fact is, they don't actually examine the paper ballots to find out if the person the computer announced as the winner actually was the winner. And I've been warning about this, and what happened March 13th in Palm Beach County, three contests had the incorrect winner named, and it took a hand count, luckily, when they found out, to clear up the mess. We're going to be talking about that because those same machines are used in 14 states around the country, including Wisconsin. Much more on that straight ahead. I'm Brad, in for Mike. Told them you were living downtown. Driving all the old men crazy. All right, welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com sitting in for Mike. Mike will be back Monday, never fear. Until then, you got me, and your worst nightmare has come true. No, not me here, but paper ballot elections that are counted by computers, naming the loser as the winner. That has happened. That just now happened in Palm Beach County, Florida. We reported it this week at bradblog.com. I spoke with the supervisor of elections down there about what happened. Those machines, those same machines that named the people incorrectly as the winners, are going to be used in 285 jurisdictions around the country, including swing states like Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Louisiana, Arizona, California, Michigan, Missouri, New Jersey, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and almost all of Wisconsin, where the GOP primary was this week, and where the recalls are coming up. I spoke with Pamela Smith from VerifiedVoting.org and Dan McCrae, the president of the Florida Voting Foundation, about this mess earlier this week on my KPFK show. Here is my conversation with them about what the hell happened in Palm Beach County. Pam and Dan, welcome, both of you.
Thanks, Brad.
Hi, Brad. Nice to be with you.
Hey, great to have you here. Okay, well, let's start specifically with Dan in Florida before we broaden it out to the rest of the country a little bit. Dan, one of the problems that came up in Florida when they discovered that the wrong winners had been declared, or I should say the losers had been declared the winner, one of the problems in the state of Florida is that incredibly, that state has just 6 days to certify their election. How can a full audit and canvass possibly be done if the election has to be certified in 6 days? And when did we get this crazy law in the Sunshine State that only gives 6 days to look at any election?
Yeah, it's 6 days in a primary and 11 and a half days, oddly enough, in a general election. And the law's been on the books for some time, and we've advocated for some time that it needs to be longer in order for elections officials to have time to do good work like we want them to do.
So this would include 11, what'd you say, 11 and a half days?
Yeah.
11, okay. 11 and a half days when we get to the November presidential election. To go back, and though I know it's only one or two counties actually in Florida which use the Sequoia system, I think the rest use ES&S optical scanners, which, by the way, are equally, if not more, flawed. But they'll have just 11 days to canvass the race and to go back and make sure we don't have another Palm Beach County type situation. And I guess I should specify a Palm Beach County March 13th situation as opposed to a Palm Beach County butterfly ballot 2000 presidential election situation. 11 and a half days. Will that be enough so that voters in the rest of the country even can have confidence that Florida got it right this time in 2012?
Well, no, it's not enough. And there's a greater problem, and that is that Florida has a weak audit provision in its statutes right now. That needs to be strengthened, but even more incredibly, the audit takes place after the election is certified, which is, you know, closing the door after the horses have gone.
So they don't even try to do it in those either 6 days or 11 and a half days prior to the certification? They don't do the post-election, you call it audit, I call it a spot check?
That's correct. They don't. And you're right. A spot check is a better word for it, a better term for it, until and unless we get a more significant, a more robust audit that actually tells us with a high level of statistical confidence that the election reported accurate results.
Let me turn to Pam Smith, Verified Voting. So, Pam, how common, you know, I spoke with the supervisor of elections in Palm Beach County, Susan Booker. She told me earlier this week that she said, quote, "I have a feeling that this isn't the first time that this has happened, but we never noticed." How common are these kinds of problems with paper ballot op-scan computers, and can we even know how common they are, Pam?
Well, I think you're onto something. It may not be possible to know just how common they are. There are a couple of checks and tests that election officials regularly do, the first one more than the second one. The first one is that they'll do a pre-election test, which will sometimes catch errors and problems in the way that the ballot has been programmed and similar instances. But the kinds of pre-election tests that typically get done may not be robust enough to catch the kinds of problems that we saw in this recent election. What's more, the second type of test, which is a post-election audit, and as Dan described, they can be anywhere from this very minimal spot check to something really quite robust, which would be an audit that limits the risk of finding the wrong, that the wrong outcome occurred. Those are not done in every jurisdiction that has this type of system, and they need to be. There is no benefit to having a record that documents the voter's intent if no one's going to check that record of voter intent against the counting system. Now, I'm not for a minute saying we couldn't do a manual count up front, but if you don't, you absolutely must do some kind of robust audit to make sure your system is counting correctly and that you're capturing any possible errors and problems.
Well, and see, that's my concern. Again, speaking with Susan Booker the other day, you know, she had said she had been doing these pre-election tests that you referenced, Pam Smith, these logic and accuracy tests, which they're supposed to run. They're supposed to run them on every machine used to make sure that they tabulate correctly. She was doing them as per the industry standards. And now she told me that it was because of the way they were doing those pre-election tests that they didn't catch this problem in advance. But, you know, she stressed that these people who run elections, they're not IT folks. They're not technological wizards. They've been doing these pre-election tests theoretically for years, and yet the tests were still not good enough to catch something like this that could have been found had the test been more robust. What gives you confidence that even if we did have post-election spot checks or audits, that election officials would be able to pull them off in such a way that we would discover problems like this, Pam?
Well, I think that I don't think you could say that I have the fullest of confidence. I do believe most election officials are working very hard to try and do their job well, and if they, mm-hmm. they have the tools to do their job well, they really can. The industry standard for pre-election testing is not robust enough. They were really actually very fortunate to have found this.
Yeah, they were very fortunate indeed. They found it only because Florida now added this post-election audit, and they got lucky at that. That was my interview, or part of my interview, with Pamela Smith from the president of Verified Voting and Dan McCray, the president of Florida Voters Foundation. The fact is, these machines that failed in Florida that we were lucky enough to catch are also used all across the country. They're going to be used in Wisconsin coming up in the recalls and in 14 different states. I'm going to continue with that conversation, that interview, when we get back from the break. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Lots of investigations to come tonight on this Good Friday and this Happy Pesach. Glad you could join us. Stay with us. Much more straight ahead. There we are, changing the world. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. If you care, I'm broadcasting tonight here on the Mike Malloy Show from Stephanie Miller's current TV studio, and I just let a picture fly on the Twitters at the Brad Blog if you want to see the photo. Okay, we're going back now to Palm Beach County, Florida. My interview with Pamela Smith of VerifiedVoting.org and Dan McCray of the Florida Voters Foundation, FloridaVoters.org. These machines down in Palm Beach County in their March 13th election named three races incorrectly. In other words, people who lost the elections were named as the winners on election night, and they only found out afterwards, days afterwards, when they bothered to count a few of the paper ballots down there in Florida, where they're now allowed to do a post-election audit of 2% of the paper ballots. If they want to do a full hand count, they actually have to go to court to get permission to do this. Now, in this case, don't blame Palm Beach. Don't blame Florida. Blame the Sequoia Voting Systems Company, which is now owned by Dominion Voting. These systems are used all across the country. The software got it wrong. It's called the software that Sequoia uses to tabulate the races is called WinEDS. And it's also used up in the state of Wisconsin, where we just had the GOP primaries this week, and where the recall elections will be held coming up in starting next month in Wisconsin. These same machines. Now, in Wisconsin, they don't bother to actually count the paper ballots, to check the paper ballots the way they happen to do down there in Palm Beach County. So the question that I was asking, and we'll pick up this interview from earlier this week that I did with Pam Smith and Dan McCrae on KPFK. I was asking Pam Smith if she, the head of verifiedvoting.org, has any confidence whatsoever in the results when they're reported by the computers in the state of Wisconsin.
So with that in mind, Pam Smith, are you confident that the race, for example, that was called last night in Wisconsin, the GOP primary, was actually called accurately, or do we have a Palm Beach County situation where the wrong winner was the wrong person was named the winner?
I think you're right. I think we have to say that the public deserves to have justifiable confidence in the outcome, in the accuracy of the outcome. And when we say justifiable, there has to be some evidence base for that confidence. And if you're not deriving any kind of evidence base until months after the election, or not doing it at all for a particular election, then where's the justification to have confidence?
Well, so in other words, do you have confidence? I realize I'm holding your feet to the fire here, Pam, but do you have confidence in the results that we were told about last night coming out of the state of Wisconsin based on the same op scanners that failed down in Florida?
I think it would be true based on any op scanner. I don't think you can have confidence in that outcome unless you've had a way to check it. It's that simple.
Speaking with Pam Smith of Verified Voting and Dan McCrae of the Florida Voters Foundation. Dan, I understand that hand counts in the state of Florida have now been made illegal. Even if an election administrator wants to count an election by hand, even in a close race where candidates would like to have ballots counted publicly, that is now illegal in the state of Florida. When did that happen, and how could that possibly happen, Dan?
It's Florida. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, it's a good thing we don't have close elections there where a hand count might be useful.
Or that it's a big, gigantic swing state.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Well, since 2000 and the debacle of 2000, the feds have done certain things, and the state of Florida has done certain things. None of them have been effective enough, because here we are talking about this more than a decade later. The state of Florida has done a couple of things. If you remember in 2000, the issue was there were multiple sets of rules for recounting across the counties. That was part of the problem, is mm-hmm. there wasn't a uniform standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it made the clock run differently for the different counties, and it made the standard of evaluating ballots different for different counties. And eventually, that's the sort of thing the Supreme Court hung its hat on when it intervened. So what's Florida done since then? Well, for one thing, it was very embarrassed, and it doesn't want to be embarrassed anymore.
Too late. Go ahead.
So in its wisdom,
yeah.
The Florida legislature has spent a fair amount of its time ensuring there will not be embarrassment, more than that necessarily elections go well. I hate to be that critical, but I'm afraid that that's what's indicated here.
Mm-hmm.
The standards now are uniformly simple. They're absolutely uniform across the state. They do things like if there is a half a percentage difference in the count, then the ballots are run back through the same optical scanners, and the essentially the same results almost always come out. If they are
so, in a case like Dan, let me just correct this. In a case like this, where Palm Beach County, where the computers had declared three people who didn't win to be the winners, if those elections had been close, they would have taken those paper ballots, run them through the same op scanners, and probably got the same results where the wrong candidates were declared the winners.
Correct. And so what you say is correct. There is nowhere in the legal procedure now that where a proper hand recount can even happen.
Susan Booker, the supervisor of elections out there, told me she had to go to court. They had to actually go to court to get permission. They knew that the computer was counting it wrong, but they actually had to go to court to get permission to count it by hand. She said that she was also a legislator at the time that some of these laws were passed, that this 2% post-election spot check law was passed. She said she had no idea that it would be a problem. She had no idea as a legislator that, that these things would, the certification would take place before they had a chance to do the audit. We're allowing these people who have absolutely no knowledge of how elections work determine election laws instead of trusting the people to count the ballots to put an end to this nonsense, this stuff that I know that I've been covering going on a decade now. Dan, I know you've been working on it in Florida for years upon years. Pam Smith, the same thing can be said of verified voting. So my question to you both, as we're wrapping up this segment here, is enough enough? When can we just start, hand counting paper ballots in front of the people at the precinct when the polls close, so that we have democracy's gold standard, so we don't have to go, through this rocket science, these post-election audits, if we're lucky to get them, that can be gamed. Can't we just finally simplify this mess? Wouldn't we all be better off if that was the case? And let me go to each of you on this before we have to go. Pam, I know you've been working on improving the computer voting that we do have. But after looking at the problems that we seem to have year after year that don't seem to get any better, wouldn't we all be better off just hand counting paper ballots?
You know, I'll tell you, elections have to be resilient against the kinds of malfunctions that we've seen and the kinds of malfeasance that we know is possible. And in the instance like what happened in Susan Butcher's county, these are the kinds of incidents that actually drive change. It's my sense, my takeaway, that if a jurisdiction is going to switch from their electronic counting system to a hand-counted system, this would be the kind of thing that would drive them to it. So I'll be very interested to see what transpires next in Palm Beach and elsewhere.
Well, as the president of a foundation with the word verified voting in it, it seems to me that the only way that we can truly verify the results is to hand count. And I don't come at that thought lightly. It's taken years and years looking at the possibilities and just seeing things get worse, not better. Dan, I know it's illegal to hand count right now in the state of Florida, but would you be happier if all paper ballots were counted in front of, actual human beings on election night at the polling place with results posted there before ballots moved anywhere?
You know, it takes us back to talking about mere mortals. Whatever we do, mortals, normal people, regular guys on the street, should be able to understand and have confidence in the election. Hand counting every ballot is one way, and it's certainly a standard against which everything else should be measured. I think there are technologies that can do that in a way that's clearly understandable, that everybody can have confidence in, and that may be faster and less expensive, less cumbersome, and therefore they bring their own advantages to the table.
Faster, but, and let me ask, let me just ask you, faster and less expensive than hand-counting paper ballots at the precinct on election night?
There's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of pushback out there.
What technology would that be?
Post-election audits. Good, solid post-election audits. They are not complicated. They are not cumbersome. They're not expensive. They're not slow.
Well, they're not slow, but they don't take place on election night. We've got chain of custody issues that come into play. Post-election audits can be gamed even when they're done very well. There are ways to game them, and ultimately, even if they're not gamed, the question that the people will have, A, did the computers count it correctly, and B, was the post-election audit math, randomness, everything else done correctly? Even if it is, I think people walk away, particularly in a close election, a close contentious election, having questions about that, Dan.
I understand, and I agree with you. That's why at the top I said that a full hand count is really the benchmark against which anything else has to be measured. But I think there are ways to do it more efficiently, faster. And, of course, there are a lot of folks out there who just give such powerful pushback to the idea of a full hand recount. We have to recognize that elections belong to everybody.
Right.
And so we have to find a way to come together and improve elections, and I think there are ways to do it to the standard that you're talking about.
Well, I hope so. I know in New Hampshire, where they do the hand counts in some 40% of the towns out there, quite often those towns are completed with their hand counts before the optical scan towns have completed, and there are very few questions about the results in those hand count towns. This conversation, I suspect, will continue, not just throughout this year, but for too many more in the future. Pamela Smith, president of Verified Voting Foundation and verifiedvoting.org, thank you for your time, as well as my thanks to Dan McRae, president of the Florida Voters Foundation. You can find him and his work and their work at floridavoters.org. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much
for having us on.
So that was my interview with Pam Smith and Dan McRae from earlier this week. Brad Friedman here from bradblog.com, in for Mike Malloy. And I want to make a couple of points here before we go to a break, why this is important. So Palm Beach County, if you can't figure out why this is important, Palm Beach County names the wrong winners of several elections. Only a post-election hand count days later found the problem. The company who makes those optical scanners, Sequoia Voting Systems, which is now owned by Dominion Voting, a Canadian firm, admits the problem was their software. And those machines are used in 14 different states. And frankly, those exact machines are in 14 different states, but pretty much all of the country, if you don't vote on a touchscreen voting machine, which is 100% unverifiable, your vote is probably counted by an optical scan paper ballot system, just like the ones that failed in Florida that they happened to notice. Now, it's pretty big, frankly. I think that Pam Smith there from Verified Voting, an organization meant to improve computer voting and call out all the flaws there, that even she at this point says that she has no basis for confidence at this point in these voting systems that are going to be used all over Wisconsin in the recall elections, that are going to be used all over the country in the presidential elections. I have been raising holy hell about all of this, trying to warn people for nearly a decade, and we had an election this week in Alaska that reminds us again why this stuff matters. I'm going to talk about that after this break. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, so you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
One, two, three!
Yeah.
Come right up!
Yeah, nicely done, Tone. They are changing, maybe not for the better. I can't believe it was the 44th anniversary of the Martin Luther King assassination this week. And here we are, 44 years later, still fighting for people's rights, still fighting for people to be able to cast a vote, still fighting to make sure that that vote gets counted and gets counted accurately, and that the citizens know it's been counted accurately. This is insane. So the wrong candidates, the losers, are named the winners down there in Palm Beach County, and we happened to discover it. And when I spoke earlier this week to the supervisor of elections down there, Susan Booker, who was alarmed by this, she said, you know, she had a feeling this has happened before and we haven't noticed.
before they had this post-election audit that was lucky enough, the spot check that was lucky enough to count it, to catch it, and that it was only a hand count that changed those elections and found the right winners. She said that the hand count was 100%. All the ballots were there. It was quick. It was easy. And everybody left knowing who the winner was and who the loser was. Even the loser knew that they lost. There was no questions. Meanwhile, up in Alaska, in Anchorage, Alaska this week, there was a proposition on the ballot for non-discrimination against the LGBT community. Non-discrimination against gay people. How's that? Prop 5. Yes on Prop 5, if you don't want to discriminate against gay and lesbian and bi and transgender folks. A few days before that election, yes on Prop 5 for ending discrimination. Yes on Prop 5 was leading in a right-wing, a conservative poll, 50-41. Looked like it was poised to win this week, 50-41 on Tuesday night, according to the poll just days before. It ended up losing, according to the, up there, it's Diebold optical scan voting systems, 43-57. That's like a 26-point jump. It was supposed to win by 9 points. It ends up losing by 14 points. Now, as it turns out, the no on Prop 5 people, this guy, this jerk by the name of Jim Minery up there in Anchorage, was sending out emails on Election Day telling people, attention young people or first-time voters, you can register and vote on the same at the same location today. It's super easy. Take a few minutes today and stop by a polling station, register to vote. All you need is your Alaska driver's license and cast a no vote on Prop 5. We really need you to vote. Tell at least three of your friends how easy it is. Problem is, you can't register and vote on the same day in Alaska. You have to register 30 days before the election. But the word got out, and ballots ran out all over the city. Because people used what they call question ballots up there, provisional ballots, to cast their vote. They were signing up. They were registering for the first time. Those votes won't be counted because those folks weren't properly registered. And this guy knew it, this Jim Minery, who then went on and lied about it. And said, oh, I got some misinformation. Who knew? Well, you knew, Jim, because a month earlier you put out a notice telling people when the last chance was to register so you could vote in that election. So there weren't a lot of ballots all over the city. 59 precincts reported no ballots. But did the computers report the results correctly, even for those people who did have ballots? Who knows? Because they won't hand count a goddamn ballot. Brad, in for Malloy.